Praise the Lord.
If you would hear today, turn in your Bibles to James chapter 3. Glad to have my cousin here. James chapter 3 and verse 5. And if you haven't found it yet, just stop where you are and try to look intelligent while we read. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue amongst our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. Amen. I'd like to preach today on a tongue or a mouth. A fire. Whenever I read through this several times, I've been reading my Bible through since I was about 13 probably. And while I was at Bible school, I read through this chapter and read this verse. And I thought to myself, I've got to preach on this sometime. I always forget about it till just the other day. Popped into my mind again. But here it says, tells us about the tongue, but there's almost, seems like to me, this is Titus's commentary. There's a parenthesis here, and it says, behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. Now we could do a little bit of research on that, but I'm sure you know that a little fire can cause a lot of problems, can it? A little fire can also do a lot of good. Amen. There's people out there, they freeze to death every year because of fire is not there. And I believe that Theodore Roosevelt at one time passed the laws, passed the thing, and made it able for the people of I believe it was West Virginia or Eastern Kentucky to go in and mine some of the coal that they wasn't able to get to for many years because they were freezing to death up there in the mountains, didn't have anything to heat their houses. And he passed the laws to make it able for them to heat their houses, and then they was able to stay alive and make some money, of course, as well. But here, behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. How many know that the tongue can be set on fire of the devil? James 3 and 10 says, out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, it says in Proverbs chapter 18. And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. The tongue can be set on fire of hell. You probably heard that old saying, I don't repeat gossip, so you better listen right the first time. Aesop, you remember old Aesop, that Greek slave, I believe he was. One time he was supposed to serve this meal to his master and some of his master's friends. And he said, I'm going to serve you the worst part of the animal, or the worst choice of meat. He said, okay, the most evil choice of meat. And they got there, and they looked, and everything was tongues all the way across the whole table. They had all these, the tongue fixed different methods, to fix different ways, roasted, and who knows what all, however you can fix a tongue, I don't know. And then the next night, his master told him, he said, I want you to fix the best choice of meat, the one that does the most benefit. I want you to choose the good kind. So the next night, Aesop served him tongue again. He should have chose a different, he should have told Aesop to serve something else. Because he said, the tongue can either be the most wicked or can be for the most good. Here today, the tongue can be set on fire of hell. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 19, it says, in the multitude of words there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. I know many times I've not had any bad intentions, but while I was talking, before long I said something I shouldn't have. Because of the multitude of words. It wasn't my heart, it was the multitude of words that led me off into the wrong pathway. Amen. Somebody said that for every word in Hitler's book, Mein Kampf. 125 lives were lost in World War II. That's the power of words, isn't it? Once a young man came to that great philosopher Socrates to be instructed in oratory. The moment the young man was introduced, he began to talk, and there was an incessant stream for some time. When Socrates could get in a word, he said, "Young man, I will have to charge you a double fee." "A double fee? Why is that?" The old sage replied, "I will have to teach you two lessons. First, how to hold your tongue, and second, how to use it." Hey, sometimes I need some instruction, don't you? Proverbs chapter 26, it says, "And where there is where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceaseth. As coals are to burning coals and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife." Amen. One of my old teachers at Bible school, Brother Heath, he said, "If the tongue is an unruly evil which no man can tame, what does that say for a woman?" I didn't say that. My teacher did. Y'all don't pin that on me. Some of y'all may use that now. Praise God. But I believe that the fire, that your tongue can be set on fire of the devil. The devil can use your mouth, whether it is to sing something evil, to say something evil, to spread something evil. And nowadays we've got all different kinds of methods of talking. We don't just have notes and all of this anymore. But now James would have to write and say your thumbs are set on fire of hell, or your fingers are set on fire of hell, or Snapchat, or whatever you want to talk about. You can use anything nowadays to spread gossip or to spread rumors. Amen. But it all goes back to the heart and the evil that is in there coming out. Praise God. But here I believe that the devil can use your tongue and use communication for evil things, but also believe that God can use your mouth for the same thing as well, for a better purpose. I believe that God can take your mouth and set it on fire of God. And here I'd like to preach for just a little while on soul winning. And in the Old Testament, the Bible tells us about some people, some prophets, that the Holy Ghost came down and anointed them, and they spoke out. One time it told us about a man named Amos, who was just a guy that went around, a shepherd, and he picked figs. Sounds like a pretty exciting life. A fig picker, that's all he did, and sheep. But the Holy Ghost got a hold of him, and Amos' mouth was set on fire, and he became a prophet of God. Jeremiah said, "Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name, but his word was in mine heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay." I could not hold it back. Amen. I believe here if we got to pray until we had that fire down deep inside of our hearts, we wouldn't be able to keep it to ourselves, would we? Hey, God will open a door for you to speak to somebody if you already have that preparedness and that fire inside of your heart. And Luke chapter 3 and verse 16, it says, "John answered and saying unto them all, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I cometh, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire." Amen. He came to give us the fire of God inside of our hearts and inside of our souls, not just to keep to ourselves and make something that's a benefit to us only, but He wants us to use it to reach out to this world and communicate with others and lead people to be saved and turn to Jesus Christ. There's too many people out there that are going to hell without anybody to reach out to them and to talk to them and get them saved. And we've got to go out there and use our mouth of something anointed by God to reach them. Amen. Amen. My dad, when I first started preaching, and I'm sure you have seen this many times, when I first started preaching, I didn't have the relationship, or I was so nervous, or man, I don't know what the problem was. But I would get up there, I'd get to preaching, I didn't have no fire, I'll just have to say it that way. I didn't have no smoke coming out of the chimney, I didn't have no fire, and I didn't have no heat. I had all things messed up. I wasn't even like one of them electric fireplaces. It looks like it's fire. But my dad talked to me. He said, "Son, get to praying until that message burns down deep inside of you. Whenever you get that fire burning down deep inside of you, get up in the pulpit and just let that fire out." Amen. And it took me some time, but I started feeling that fire burning down deep inside of me. Amen. And I know sometimes when I first got to preaching, if the Holy Ghost hit me, it scared me. Did it ever do you, Caleb? I didn't know what to do with it. Hallelujah. Amen. But here, we've got a fire of the Holy Ghost that we can get a hold of, and God didn't just leave it for a select few. He gave it to every single one of us, every layperson, every person that can be used of God, every person that is born again can have the fire of God in their soul and reach out and touch somebody's heart and warm their soul and have Christ come into their life. Amen. He gave us this power of the Holy Ghost. John chapter 16 and verse 8, it says, "And when He has come," talking to the Holy Ghost, "He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment." That word "reprove" can mean convince, and it can mean to take a hammer and to drive something home until they realize that they're wrong. Amen. He said, "When He has come, He will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment." Now let me ask you something. What was the first thing that Peter did when he received the baptism of the Holy Ghost? He didn't stay there praying all to himself. First thing he did, he went outside. He started preaching the gospel, didn't he? And in Acts chapter 2 and verse 37, it says, "And when they had heard this, they were pricked in their heart." That was the Holy Ghost, the one who said, "I'm going to come. I'm going to reprove, convict, convince," however you want to say it, "the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment." Peter stood up that day and said, "You killed the Holy One and just. You bunch of murderers." That's what he said. But the Holy Ghost reached out there and convicted those people, because Peter wasn't up there by himself. It was the Holy Ghost speaking through him. And here I believe we can take every single one of you, and if you get the Holy Ghost burning down deep inside of your heart, I believe that God can reach through you and touch somebody's heart and reprove them, convict them of the sin that's in their life. Amen. And all throughout the Bible, throughout the book of Acts there, in Acts chapter 2, there was 3,000 souls that were saved. In Acts chapter 5, there was 5,000 souls that were saved. Because somebody got a hold of the Holy Ghost, and that reprover of sin reached out and convicted the world of the sin that was in their life and changed their life. We've got to get a hold of the fire, don't we? If we get our life straightened out and get everything right with God, where He can reach down and move in us and create in me a clean heart, oh God, and give us that power, that anointing to reach out to the lost, I believe God can save souls here through this body of people here tonight. John Wesley was a man that was a fiery evangelist. He couldn't preach, maybe even in some of our churches. I'm not sure. He was so strict. Preached against the color red. Preached against other things. You know? Preached against coffee. God forbid. Which John Wesley said, he said that if he drank tea or coffee, his hands would shake, and he must have been really susceptible to caffeine. So it was wrong for him, if I would have killed him. But Stephen Tompkins writes that John Wesley rode 250,000 miles on horseback, preaching two or three times a day. He gave away 30,000 British pounds and preached more than 40,000 sermons. He was a very persistent man who burned for God and let His light shine before men. 250,000 miles on horseback, preaching two or three times a day. Somebody came up to him, I heard, and asked, "If you were to die tomorrow, if you knew you were dying tomorrow, what would you change about today?" He said, "Nothing." He was doing every bit he could do for God his entire life, as far as he knew. And on his gravestone, it's still written, and this challenged my heart, he said, "God, be merciful to me, an unprofitable servant." That's a shocking statement, isn't it? And if he said that, what about me? Amen. But John Wesley throughout all of this preaching out, all of this, he was not always successful. Let me just read to you a little bit here. This is from his diary. It says, Sunday a.m., May 5th, preached at St. Anne's, was asked not to come back anymore. Sunday p.m., May 5th, preached at St. John's. Deacon said, get out and stay out. Sunday a.m., May 12th, preached at St. Jude's. Can't go back there either. Sunday a.m., May 19th, preached at somewhere else. Deacons called special meeting and said, I couldn't return. Sunday p.m., May 9th, preached on street, kicked off street. Sunday a.m., May 26th, preached in meadow. Chased out of meadow as bull was turned loose during service. I've never had that happen to me yet. Sunday a.m., June 2nd, preached out on the edge of town, kicked off the highway. Now, if we'd stopped there, this would have been a shock. This would have been a horrible story. But here it says, Sunday p.m., June 2nd, afternoon, preached in the pasture. 10,000 people came out to hear him preach. Amen. It wasn't that he was approved by man. He was approved by God. He had a fire of God working down deep inside of him. And when that fire got to burning inside of him, he didn't hold it back. He let it go out and reach out to the lost and touch the world and to change them. And I believe that God can move in every single one of our lives, no matter how what our age is, no matter what our strengths are, our weaknesses, no matter how insignificant we feel or inferior, whatever it is, God can use us as a fiery person to reach out or approve this world of the sin that is in it. In Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1, it says, in the year that King Uzziah died, that's a pretty sad circumstance, isn't it? When your king dies. But Isaiah here said, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims, each one had six wings. Twain covered his face, with twain he covered his feet, with twain he did fly. One cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. And then Isaiah said, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. What if we really got where we saw God truly where he is? Said, God, cleanse me and purify me. Make me your man, your woman, your pure heart for God. Then it says, when he had said this, a seraphim came unto him, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. The fire of God cleansed his mouth, made it holy where he could speak for God. And it says, also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who shall go for us? I believe that's what God is crying out here. He said, then Isaiah said, here am I, send me. Amen. I believe God's wanting us to be men and women that are on fire of God here tonight. We don't have to hold back and let somebody else do that job. That's our job to do. Amen. Leonard Ravenhill wrote this little poem here. He said, could a mariner sit idle if he heard the drowning cry? Could a doctor sit in comfort and just let his patients die? Could a fireman sit idle, let men burn and give no hand? Can you sit at ease in Zion with the world around you damned? I believe the world's crying out for somebody to come and wend them, don't you? I believe that God is crying out for somebody to go out and reach them. Don't you? But it's up to us to listen to that voice of God that is saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Hey, how many of you here today say, I want to be that heart on fire for God? I want to get the fire of God down deep inside of me and the burden of Christ. If we could just get the burden of Christ for just a little while, till He comes again, get that burden down deep inside of us, we can reach out to this world and change it. I believe that God's about to shake up this world, and we have to have some people that get on fire of God and want to reach out and change this world for Christ. We have to turn it around, purge this world of the iniquity that is in it, and get them ready for God to come back. Amen. It's up to us. How many say, I want to be that man or that woman? I want to be that person that witnesses for God. I don't know about you, but I need God to make me a better witness. Amen. Why don't we gather around this altar? Let's say, God, give me that fire inside of my heart. Make me a better witness. Make me the witness you want me to be. There's people that you can reach that I can't reach, that the person next to you can't reach. But if you get on fire, God, and let him use you, he can move and work through you in this world and win souls for him. Amen. Let's gather around this altar here tonight. Let's pray and seek the face of God for him to make us what he needs us to be. The vessels of fire that he wants us to be. The tongue of fire. Set on fire of God. Not set on fire of hell, but set on fire of God. Amen. We've got to have that fire in our soul.